Please turn your Bibles as you remain standing to Psalm 116. Psalm 116, beginning in verse 1. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications, because He has inclined His ear to me. Therefore I will call upon Him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Let us pray. O Lord, we thank you for your loving arms that we can run to. We thank you, Lord, for your love, your grace, and your mercy. That while we were yet sinners, your enemies, you died on the cross for us. We fall on your grace today. We run to your arms right now in our worship. We thank you that you're a loving God that we can call Father, and that no one or no thing can snatch us out of your hands, because you're the Almighty. We give you praise this morning. Lord, please bless the reading of your word. Please speak to this servant. I'm nothing without you. And Lord, may you do a great work for your praise and for your glory for all eternity. And we ask it all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Deliverance. I want to ask you a question this morning. Has God delivered you? How many times has God delivered you? If God has delivered you, would you raise your hand this morning as a testimony? So I'm talking to a great group of people that God has delivered you. So you can relate, I can relate to this psalm that speaks of God's deliverance. It's a psalm that speaks how God delivered the writer from death, and then he's going to praise God in the midst of the congregation. And it's also a psalm that speaks about death, that how precious in the sight of God is the death of one of His loved ones. So it's a psalm of deliverance, because even at death we're delivered. Amen. Death just has it has no more sting to us, because the sting of death is the law and sin. And Christ Jesus took that death penalty for you and I, so we have everlasting life. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So even at death, as a child of God, as someone who has been born again, we are delivered. And yet even someday this body will resurrect also. Amen? So God is a loving God. He's a God that delivers us time and time again in this life. And then at death, we are delivered. Matter of fact, the story of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man who did not love God, in hell he looked up being in torment. But what happened to Lazarus? When he died, Jesus said that there was an angelic escort, and he was delivered into Abraham's bosom. So even at death, God delivers us, and hallelujah for that. That's a praise to the Lord. And this psalmist writes in verse 1 that it was his testimony that I love the Lord, he says. That was his testimony. I love the Lord, the covenant name of God, the Lord. And he loves the Lord. What is your testimony this morning? What could you say would be your testimony? The ones who know you, your family, the ones who live with you, the ones you work with, the ones that you're around, what is your testimony to them? What do you love the most in your life? What is your testimony? Would they say he or she loves the Lord? Or would they say he or she loves something else? So what is your testimony? The writer says, I love the Lord. That was his witness. That was his testimony that he loved the Lord. So why or who do you love this morning? Do you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Do you love Jesus? Jesus loved the church and gave himself for the church. So do you love the things that Jesus loves? What is your testimony today that can you say with the writer, I love the Lord? He says he heard my voice and my supplications. And you see that we're in his hands as born again believers. And the good news is Almighty God knows us by name. Matter of fact, we're not even supposed to worry about the things of tomorrow. Yes, we ought to be wise and plan ahead and all that. And if the Lord wills, we will do this and that. Amen? But he knows the number of our hairs on top of our heads. He's not some grandfather-looking figure off in heaven with a long beard and just letting us go on about and do whatever we want to do and all that. No, God is in control. Nothing passes by him unless he okays it. He's not some distant father out yonder who does not care about you and I, but he knows the number of hairs on top of our heads. Brother Ed, he don't have to count long for you or for me. But he knows. Knows the number of our head. That's how loving he is. And he hears our voice of supplication. Our voice as we cry out to him as his children. I love the children of this church. But when my children, we have one left at home. And my hearing is not as good as it used to be, but when Rebecca says, Daddy, I know her voice. I know it. She knows my voice. She knows her mother's voice. So God hears your voice. When we cry out to him, God knows our voices. Isn't that good news? He's not some God way out yonder and maybe looking upon us, if you're looking below today, he is with us. And he hears our voice. He knows all about you and I. And the psalmist wrote, I love the Lord because he heard my voice. And in verse 2 it says that he will call upon the Lord. Read verse 2 with me. Because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. He's going to call upon the Lord. The covenant name of God. He was going to call upon the Lord as long as he lived. Is that your testimony today? That you're a person that calls upon the Lord. You speak to the Lord and the Lord knows your voice. You have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, our one and only mediator between a holy God and sinful man. Does he know your voice? And will you call upon him the rest of your life? What else do we have? What other hope is there that we may have? We're studying through Ecclesiastes on Wednesday nights. A natural man's view of the world and his surroundings. And unless you have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, all you have is what Ecclesiastes says. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. But he will call upon the Lord. You see, this covenant name of God, and we as born-again believers, as Christians, as born-again, we're called little Christ. There's only one mediator between God and man, that's Jesus Christ. We're saved by His grace, by the blood He shed on the cross for you and I. He laid His life down for you and I. So when we call upon God, who do we call upon? See, there's many gods. There's all kinds of pagan gods out there. And the whole world, which is mostly religious, would be okay for all of us to say, yeah, I pray to God. But who are you praying to? You see, I could say, don't get this wrong, but I love women. Okay? Don't take that wrong, but I'm proving a point. But I love, if to get down to the wire, I love Alicia. That's who I love. If you want to say, I love the Lord, well, who do you love? Is it one of those kumbaya gods where the whole world, religionists say, yeah, God? No, is it Jesus? Who do you love? Did Jesus save you, or some pagan god out there saved you? Who shed His blood on a cross for you? Was it Jesus, or who was it? He says, I'm going to call upon the Lord all my life. I will call upon Him. And it's not some ritualistic prayer. It's not some prayer of confusion. But it's a specific prayer. It's a type of relationship that we can talk to God, and God talks to us through His Holy Spirit and through His Word. That's called upon the name of the Lord. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Brother Roland, thank you for leading us in the worship of Jesus this morning. Because without Jesus, where would we be? We would be lost and undone. I will call upon the name of the Lord. And when he called upon the Lord, it says in verses 3 and 4, the pains of death surrounded me. The pangs of Sheol, or death, laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. Oh Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. You see, God preserved him through the distresses of life. Preserved him. And you all raised your hands, most of you raised your hands, that God has delivered you, some more than others. And God will also deliver us at death. But he preserves, it says. Preserves. You know, when you think of preservatives, I grew up in a home that with a mother that loves Mayhaw jelly. We would go to Little Lake or Kitlin Creek Bay, and I was a young boy and about Taylor's size there and younger. And Guess who got to climb up the mayhaw trees? I did. They seemed a lot larger back then than they do today, but I climbed up them and I shook them in that backwater, and we'd pick up mayhaws and we'd go home. My mama would clean them and cook them down, put them in a pressure cooker, and I didn't watch everything about it. I wish I did, but she'd put them in those mason jars. And I remember sitting around the house hearing those jar lids pop, being sealed. Well, I do know that she put lots of sugar in there. Had to have. And whatever else. And to preserve those mayhaws would have rotted if we would have just put them in a jar and put a lid on them. They certainly would not have made jelly. But she put them in a hot pressure cooker, and she cooked those mayhaws down to preserve them. Some of you can preserve pickles pretty good. I hadn't had any in a long time, but I about forgot how they tasted. But other things, and you know, you put dill in those pickles or whatever stuff, and you seal it, and it preserves whatever you're preserving. The psalmist says that he is preserved. He is preserved through the distresses of life. You see, you may think that I'm in a measured distress of life right now. I'm in a pressure cooker. Peter said in one of his epistles, he said that the trying our faith is like precious gold refined by fire. James says that count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations through various trials, that the trying of your faith works patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you will be complete, full-grown Christians that remain faithful. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5 that the heavy load, the pressure that you're under, works perseverance and hope and faithfulness. And yet hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. So you may be under a pressure cooker right now. You've been through pressure cookers. You've been through turbulence times in life. And you're a full-grown Christian, or you're becoming a complete person, a mature Christian in the faith. One that says, God delivered me then. God's going to deliver me now, and He's going to deliver me again and again, and at the point of death even, God's going to deliver me then, because I know, because He's delivered me all these other times. He preserves us, makes us complete. Just like that mayhaw jelly my mama used to make, oh, it's sweet. You put that on a peanut butter sandwich, you got something there. You put that on a biscuit, you got something there. That sweet taste of that mayhaw jelly. And see, when you've been put in a pressure cooker and God's delivered you time and time again, when you have a brother or sister also going through something like that, you can be a sweetness to them, a word of encouragement to them. And certainly you can pray. What else do we have? If we don't pray, what are we? God preserved him through the distresses of life. In verses 5 and 7, we see that God is gracious and righteous and merciful. It says, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. You see, we can have rest in our soul and spirit. We can have a peace of mind because of our relationship with the Lord. You see, because He is gracious and righteous and merciful. It is by God's grace we live and breathe. It is by His grace that we fall on for salvation. It's all by the grace of God. He's merciful. He is righteous. God cannot lie. There's no deceit found in God. He is so righteous that the death penalty of sin is death. But He is so righteous that He came and He died the death penalty so that we can have everlasting life. Folks, that is righteousness that you and I can't do. The only way to have that righteousness is to be in Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. It's not some just paganistic say God, but His name is Jesus. If you don't know Him, come to Him today. Fall on His grace. He's gracious. He's righteous. He is merciful. Isn't God merciful? Oh, I praise Him for His mercy daily. His mercies are renewed every morning, it says. God, I messed up yesterday, but help me today to be a witness. God, I could have done better yesterday, but I plead Your mercy. I cry out for Your mercy today. Help me to live for You. He is so merciful. And because that He loved the Lord, that He could call upon the name of the Lord, He said, I'm going to call on You the rest of my life. Because of Your grace and Your mercy and Your love and Your righteousness. It says in verses 18 and 19, read it with me. I will pay my vows to the Lord. Now in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He was not ashamed to praise the Lord. He said that He would pay His vows to the Lord. Have you paid your vows to the Lord? I'm not saying that you can buy salvation in any way, because you can't. It's not for sale. Sorry. What does this mean to the Christian? Jesus said, take up your cross and follow Him. It's called being a disciple. If I asked every one of you, I've been asking you to raise your hands a lot today. If I asked you, do you want to go to heaven? Unless you're stupid, you would raise your hand. You don't want to go to heaven, you're stupid. Okay? That's according to Edgar Evans, chapter 1, verse 1, okay? Of course you'd raise your hand. But if I ask you this, which is biblical, will you die to self and follow Jesus and give Jesus your life, the rest of your life? Will you pay your vows to Him? Will you give your life to Jesus? That's what being a Christian is. If you didn't think that was being a Christian, someone's lied to you. You've been lied to. Being a Christian is giving your life. It's dying to self. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. I've crucified the flesh. No longer it's I, but Christ lives in me. That's what it is. But if you just think it's an easy ticket to heaven, someone lied to you. He said, I'm going to pay my vow. What kind of vow can we pay to God? Give Him your life. Because that's what He wants. Give Him your life. He will praise the Lord in the presence of His people. See, if you came forward this morning and said, I have given my life to Jesus, that this house ought to applaud and praise God. And if you go out in the community, He says, I will praise the Lord in Jerusalem. Out in the community. Will you do that? Because if your life belongs to Jesus, your life will be a praise to the Lord. He will give praise in the presence of His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, and in the midst of Jerusalem. Praise the Lord, which means hallelujah. Hallelujah. What kind of testimony do you have? What do you praise? He says, I love the Lord, and as long as I live, everyone's going to know it. That's what the psalm says. And even at death, my death is precious in the sight of God. So the question is, have you been delivered? Let's talk about this death a little bit longer. At death, God's going to deliver him. This word deliverance, I think of my beautiful wife giving birth to 3 beautiful children. She carried them for months. She delivered them, all 3. Was it easy for her to do that? No. Boy, it was tough on me too. Whew. She delivered 3 beautiful children. Wasn't easy, but she did it. It took pain. And I don't want to get into gory details, but if you've ever seen it, you know it's tough. Isn't it, men? Okay. Deliverance. Being delivered. She delivered 3 children. God delivers us. Nicodemus asked Jesus, can I enter again to my mother's womb? What do you mean, being born again? What does it mean, Jesus? She said it must be by the Spirit that you're born again. See, you can't save yourself. The Holy Spirit of God has to touch your heart. Then you surrender your life to Jesus. You place your faith in Jesus. You repent and turn to God through Jesus Christ. And he says, that's what being born again is. That's being delivered. Yes, God delivers us from all sorts. We all have testimonies. God delivered us so many times. In times we don't even know about, He has delivered us and protected us. And we'll know when we're in eternity. I'm talking about the type of deliverance for salvation. Delivered from death to life. Takes pain. Took suffering. Took all of that. And Jesus did it for you and I on the cross. He did it. And now for you to be delivered, it's not calling on some, just say God. You must call upon the name of Jesus. Because Jesus was the sacrifice. Jesus is the high priest. Jesus is everything. Jesus is our grace. He's our peace. He's our love. It's Jesus. And for you to be delivered, you must be in Him. You must be in Christ. And I promise you, according to God's Word, you'll be delivered. Delivered. You must die to self, though. Must die to self. Yeah, we all want to go to heaven. We all would raise our hand. We may all just come at one time. But to be a Christian, to be delivered, is saying no to the old life and becoming a disciple of Jesus. And anything other than that's a lie. You've been lied to if you think it's something else. God cannot lie. His Word says you must be born again. Will you do that? Will you trust Christ? Will you call upon Him the rest of your life? Let us pray. Lord, we thank You so much again for Your love. God, it's the foolishness of preaching that shows the power of God. I don't know how You do it, or even You, someone like me and other people like me. But I do know this. Your Word will not return void, and You cannot lie. And the salvation process, it's all of You. It's all about You. So God, may we be delivered. May the ones who do not know You personally, may Your Holy Spirit touch thy heart, and may You deliver them. And God, may us who have been delivered pay our vows daily. Wherever we're at, may we give You praise and glory and honor forever. We ask it all in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen.